suffered for me, carried the cross all the way.
My sins to the throne.
They nailed him to the cross.
Great was the pain, great was the loss.
He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Then they carried him away, placed him in a lonely grave. Surely they thought that this would be the end of this man. On the third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me.
Good to know that he still loves us, and each one of us has more than we deserve, especially eternity. Well, would you open us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, for bringing us safely from this horrible night, Lord, be with us more for number, Lord, as we come to worship at the cross, Lord, and at the service, Lord. Be with us for number, Lord, as the Spirit to be Christy, Lord, as he delivers the sermon, Lord. Be with us and give the words to speak in the Spirit, Lord, that may touch us, Lord, and use the Spirit to instruct us, to exhort us, and maybe to sensitize us, Lord, in all things, Lord, and thy will, Lord. And Lord, thank you for living us here tonight, Lord. Be with those people who came to the service, Lord. Bless them all, Lord. Bring them to the church next appointed time. And bless them and keep them, Lord. And Lord, be with the congregation throughout this night that are being ordered. But not only in this country, but throughout the entire world, Lord. Those are Christian ministers, Lord. Those are fully saved and blood bought in the shed blood of the cross, Lord. Use this for them also, Lord, to touch those that are lost throughout the congregations out there, Lord. And Lord, save souls mightily, Lord. And Lord, be with the Christian Institute. Open doors, live behind bars, and Lord, all our Christian organizations and the Calls of Foxes, the Bishops, and all other men and women, Lord, that are used to touch those or used to reach those that are lost, Lord, and use them mightily, Lord, tonight, Lord, and throughout the week, Lord, and be with us this night, Lord, and be with Christy, Lord, and be with us also for Jesus Christ again, man.
Take another favorite from anywhere on the cross.
246.
Take yours next. 246.
Redeemed.
Let's stand as we're saying 246.
I know that the light of his presence
Just got to thinking during that song that that's written by someone who's blind, or composed by Fanny J. Crosby, who was blind, yet she could say, "I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell." When Saul seen the light, he was blind. You know, some of us could be doing with getting a bit of blindness and not putting our hope and trust in all the things we can see and put our hands on. Mm-hmm. Will, are you reading for us?
Turn tonight to 1st Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and defiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto grace and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom, lo, now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the form of lust in your ignorance, but as he hath called you as holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received perdition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory,
that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen.
Amen. Just a quick note, just want to remind you to make sure that you get one of those wee yellow prayer lists, and please do, during the course of the week, please call the names out of the people that are mentioned there. I would put in a request for my shoulder, if you would just pray for that, because that is giving me a lot of bother this past few weeks. Other than that, it's pretty much business as usual. We know that there are a few that are absent from us this evening. Ling and Frank, of course, is over in London. And by way of an answer to prayer, he got a position for 10 weeks work experience with Morgan Stanley. So he'll be starting, kicking off there. That'll be next year. But it's always good to get those things sorted out in advance. So we thank the Lord for that. I think his mom and dad are quite pleased with that as well. Please also pray for Carol. She's not feeling the best right at this very moment in time. I think she got the flu jab. And she may have gotten, was that right, John? She got the flu jab?
Last week, sometime.
And she's been a bit off colour ever since. So please do pray for Carol. Don't forget Stephen and Esther as well. We miss Esther. Please do pray for her. For Pat and Steve, I think that's about that, isn't it? I think so. Please do remember all those souls. And one other that's on my mind, that it's a lot of people are going to have very difficult times over the next few weeks and months. I would please be mindful of those that have lost loved ones. It is a difficult time, and sadly it has been made much more difficult by the days in which we live. So we're praying for you, Christine and Will, and Norman, we're praying for you too. Please do remember as well the Cardwell family in Portadown, and Kate Cairns, who's one of Billy's old neighbours. So please do remember them. There's a lot going on. I would also ask that you would pray for America at this time. They are in the mouth of a very contentious election. Some people are not going to take it very well whenever President Trump wins. So please do. I would like to be proved right in that, by the way, not wrong. Because if it is, the best thing might be to do would be to mine the Atlantic and make sure nothing from America gets over this far. Because I said it before, years ago they used to say if it happens in America, it'll be in the UK 10 years later. It only takes hours now for bad ideas to get across. And a lot of people will be taking their cue from what happens in America to cause trouble here and in Australia and in Europe. So please do pray for whatever happens in America. And of course, do pray for our own leaders as well. They certainly do need a lot of wisdom. I think that's about that. Anybody, any private prayer requests? Things that you want us to pray about but don't want to give any details on? You can still put your hand up. Okay, I have private prayer requests, so my name's still down there. I think last of all, just pray for Christy. I am still very appreciative of him taking the Sunday evenings. Although I was just saying to Monica, this is not an excuse to quit on me. I was just saying to Monica, was it last week or was it the week before? I think it was before I came down with whatever. He says, you know what? I feel like I could nearly do a Sunday evening again. That is not your golden parachute out of Sunday evenings. Because I would like to get through the Book of Acts. I would like to see all that you have in the Book of Acts, honest Gov. But yes, indeed. All right. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll hand the service back to Brother Christy. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for Lord, thank you for being able to be in church. Lord, even though the weather is awful outside, but we've got our heat and we've got our light and we've got a roof over our heads, and we're here just to sing your praises, to listen to your word read, and to fellowship round the teaching and preaching of your word. Please bless Christy as he comes bringing your message this evening. And I pray you, Lord, that you would inspire him. And not just for the evening, Lord, and not just Christy, but each one of us as we go through, as we live our lives day by day. Please, Lord, touch us, remind us, Lord, even give us a scalping if we need it. But Father, please provide our needs. Be with Brother Stan as he leads the church up in Bangor. We're thinking too of, Francis Cosgrave, of the Christian Institute of Kids for Schools, of all the places that we support, and Open Doors, and I can't remember the name of the other one, but you know what it is, Lord, and the many others that are out there that genuinely love you and are preaching the full counsel of your word. Please, Lord, even in these darkest of the last days, please save souls. For those that's not 100%, I think especially on Esther and Pat and Steve and Carol, Lord, I pray you please, you'd put your good hand upon them and restore them, Lord, to health and, well, to enough health, Lord, to let them enjoy a bit of fellowship with us. Bless Christy, Lord. Give him the words to speak. Please comfort those that are at a low ebb. Please strengthen those that are weak, Lord, and please heal those that are sick. And Father, you know all our needs, and I pray that you would supply us. Please minister to each one of us through the message that you give to Christy this evening. Whatever it is, Lord, if we need a lifted up by the side locks, if we need an arm around us, if we need a wee bit of wisdom, Lord, I pray that you would provide our needs this evening. We just love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Thank you, Christy.
You had mentions. Doesn't sound familiar, but let's see. Yep. I'm number 222.
All the twos.
Suddenly sounds like a bingo hall.
To glory the shine, more.
Can choose after the service.
Number
16 in the black book. Well, lift yourselves and we'll stand for this one as we sing. Continuing in the book of Acts, if you'd like to take your Bibles, Acts chapter 9, starting from verse number 23 and reading through verse 31. subject tonight. It's a bit of a rare title, but you'll get it when we read our text. It's the Basket Church. The Basket Church. Is anyone going to confess to reading on in Acts to see what the next topic's going to be? No one? That's alright, God knows. starting at verse number 23 in Acts chapter 9, the Basket Church. It says, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." Amen. Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Loving Heavenly Father, bless us now as we gather around your word. Please, I pray, Lord, inspire and strengthen Christy and deliver the words that we need to hear to his lips. Just thank you for each of the souls that are present, Lord, and for the heads that are bowed. In your honour, Father, please bless each one of us, Father. You know each one of our hearts. You know what we need, Lord, and I pray that please supply our needs, and not ours only, but our brothers and sisters across the land. Please, Lord, I pray, even for those souls that are would never think twice of darkening a church door on the Lord's Day, would you bring to their remembrance a gospel tract, a Sunday school lesson, an old message, Lord, something to prick their conscience and to point them to the foot of the cross. Just one soul saved before it's too late. Bless us now, Father. We ask this, our private prayer requests, and for comfort for those that are hurting, Lord. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I believe these studies started when yourselves were in the States, or else you were in hospital. I think hospital, and then continued, but definitely started from Acts chapter 1. Here we are in Acts chapter 9. No telling what number of studies, I don't know, I haven't went back to check, but I could do that, and I will do it at some stage. But last week's study was the Changeable Church, or the Church of Change, part 2. And the first part of that, we looked at the change that was seen in Saul on the road to Damascus when he seen the light. Jesus appeared to him in a vision and said, "Why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Saul was then blind for 3 days, told where to go into the street called Straight, and acquire the house of Judas for one called called Saul. That's not even Paul's. That's Ananias' vision. Jesus told Ananias where to go. But he told Paul, you need to go to one house, and that man of the house is Judas, and wait there for one called Ananias. Then the part 2 looked at Ananias. Ananias was afraid once he heard what the Lord was doing, that Saul had met Jesus in the way, because Saul had been the persecutor of the church. Ananias got over the fear, and after questioning the Lord, went about to obey the Lord. So we've seen the change in Ananias from fear to victory. And what a great blessing then that transpired through discipling Saul into the Christian and the time of fellowship that he had with him, and then to where we are now, to Saul preaching. We get to verse number 23, and it says Saul had been spending many days with the Christians at Damascus, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. After salvation, Saul was filled with the Holy Ghost. He spent many days with these Christians and preached the gospel. He increased in strength, the previous verse says, and he kept confounding the Jews. I'm sure that many of them thought it was a passing phase, that it was a flash in the pan. Maybe some were even skeptical as to, surely this is an inside plot, he's just fulfilling his mission, and wants to get in the inside so he can identify more of them and imprison and kill more Christians than he has ever done. But this is another conversion that we notice. Saul here went from persecutor to persecuted. After confounding and preaching boldly in the name of Jesus, Saul now knows the full extent of what it's like to be on the receiving hand of persecution. He knows what it's like to be in fear of your life, for your life to be under threat and your freedom to be under threat. And why was it? It wasn't for fame or fortune. It wasn't for even crimes that he had committed or a career that he had pursued. It was for his doctrine. It was for the doctrine that he had taught Damascus to the Jews there, confounding them and proving that Jesus was real. This Jesus whom the Christians had spent time with, had seen crucified on Calvary's mountain, and had spent time with as he resurrected again. This Jesus whom Saul went about murmuring fury and anger and causing havoc in the Church of Christ. He denounced his authority, the authority of the Sanhedrin, and now he put himself under the authority of the very name he went about to destroy. And the Jews couldn't believe it. They were furious. They were angry because it showed that one of them, one of the leading members of them, had turned. He was a turncoat. He was a convert. He sold out. But also, aside from his doctrine, he was persecuted for his dedication. It says in verse 23, the first couple of words, and after that many days were fulfilled. This wasn't just through one day preaching. This wasn't through just telling some of the leaders of the Jews who Christ was and what Christ had done and the Damascus Road experience that Saul had and the change that wrought in his heart. Now the outward effects were very real. They had seen that he no longer went about to slay and destroy and cause havoc. But he was one to serve, to obey, and he was faithful. He was no longer against, but he was for. He was walking in the same way in which he put many, many pitfalls in front of those who walked before him. He was dedicated. He was truly changed. And I wonder today, is there a lack of persecution on the church because of lack of doctrine? Because of lack of dedication? You know, we really do have it easy. But maybe that's because we're just allowing the world to have it easy. Maybe that's because our service is limited to a certain time and a certain service, a certain church, a certain community. Maybe it's because we choose whom we share the doctrines with, and we choose whom not to share them with, through fear, through pride, through care of our own reputation. Maybe that's just why we don't have such persecution in these days. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad we don't have it. But every time you see a Christian sold out, there soon follows persecution. Mm-hmm. We've seen that throughout the studies in the book of Acts. Verse 24. Saul had inside experience. He knew how the Jews plotted to kill people. He was one of these men. He went about the plot, the death and the imprisonment of many of these Christians. So their laying in wait was no surprise to them. It was known to Saul. And they were standing by the gates day and night. The only way in and out of the city. They had thought, surely he's here. But, you know, if he tries to go early in the morning and if he tries to leave late at night, we'll catch him. We'll get him and no one will see him. Everyone will be in their bed and he'll just disappear. No one will know that we took him. The disciples obviously heard that Saul shared with them. He would have took them and said, look, I know, guys, I've heard that they're going to kill me. I've heard their plan to slay me, to stop the growth of the church here and the spread of the gospel. Here's what they're doing. They're waiting by the gate day and night. And the disciples said, well, that doesn't have to be the case. We don't need to send you out that way. They start weaving a basket. And hence the title, The Basket Church. And obviously, you don't walk around joyful and victorious and happy when your life's under threat. You know, no matter what you say, even Jesus suffered stress when his life was under threat. He sweat great drops of blood. He was fully man and fully God. He felt every emotion we feel. But yet he suffered a lot more than we ever suffered. So it doesn't say how Saul was feeling, but I can bet It was stress, it was pressure, it was worry. There was looking over the shoulder. There was times that he brought, like Jesus had to escape through the crowd, or he had seen those in the synagogues and the temples where he had been preaching, just staring up with that look of hate, that look of anger, that look of death in their eyes as they want to kill him. Look of fury. But in spite of knowing this, in spite of the plans that were in place, in spite of them standing at the gates and waiting day and night, Paul was about to learn what great deliverance God provides. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says, and when Saul declared his, he nailed his flag on the mast, he was all out for Christ, and God was on his side. This was the beginning of the great things that he should suffer for my name's sake, as Jesus said. But yet God delivered him through the disciples. Disciples start weaving that basket and they say, Saul, we have a plan. We're going to let you down by the wall. You're not going through the gate. We know that if you stay here any longer, they're going to capture you at some stage. So they take him by night. They put him in the basket that they've weaved, and they let him down by the wall. And on that thought, I got to thinking, we need to be basket church. We as a church have stopped weaving baskets. And what is a basket? A basket is a container that's used to hold or carry things. And getting to think about that, sometimes we can't hold ourselves, and sometimes we can't continue on or carry ourselves. And we need those spiritual baskets to keep us going, to carry us, to let us down, and let us continue on our path. Got some baskets that we need to be and weave. First one that I could think, these are in no particular order, and in no means an exhaustive list. But if you do these, you'll soon cover the rest of whatever else is out there. The basket of compassion, not of criticism. We don't know the journey that someone has been through up until this point. These Christians, yes, they knew a bit of Saul's journey, but they didn't know how he was brought up as a child. They didn't know if his parents were hateful and hurtful to him, you know, and often criticized him. They didn't know what his peers were like, whether his attitude was just a result of constantly being criticized and just having hateful words spoken to him and saying, you know, you're such a small man. Show your authority to those Christians, would you? You know, just egging them on. It could have been that, but they didn't know. What these disciples didn't do, didn't say, well, he has caused us much trouble. He has killed many of our own. Maybe it's just his time. Maybe we just let him try and get out the gate and let them deal with him. You know, he that lives by the sword dies by the sword. They didn't say that. They had compassion. They said, yep, that might be your past, but you're one of us now. You're one of us now. Reading an excerpt recounting an excerpt of a book that I'm reading at the minute. There was this wife who was seen her husband getting discouraged and tired. But he was always, you know, working full time. He came home during Christmas. It was raining and pouring, yet he still went out to hang up the lights at Christmas just to bring joy to his children. Tired and weary after a full week's work, he still spent time with the kids, took them to soccer and basketball and gymnasium and so forth. So what this wife got to doing was, before her husband reached the point of no return, of complete exhaustion and just throwing in the towel, she started journaling everything that she was thankful for him doing throughout the year. At the end of the year, she handed it to him. And after a long week of work, it was a Friday that she gave it to him. He sat down and read it all in one reading. You know what he told his friend after receiving that gift? I'm going to be the man that she thinks I am. You see, when we have compassion and we show a bit of care, then people step up their game. You know, they aim to become those very things that we're pulling out of them or putting into them, those very words that we think that they are. That's when they step up to the plate. But when we cut people off and just say, you're a disgrace, you know, you could have done that better, that's when people crumble. That's when they fall away. That's when our basket of compassion is non-existent. The next basket is the basket of encouragement. And again, that kind of feeds into what we talked about there. But people respond to encouragement. There was a young boy, 12 years of age, had his first opportunity to lead the singing in the church choir. When asked about it many years ago, he said, I thought it went fine until my dad gave me a bit of advice. His dad said, son, if you really want people to sing, you need to encourage them. You need to tell them, it went well, but let's do better this time. And he did. And he was the choir leader and this church song leader for many, many years. Another story that I read was about the Boston Marathon, and it was under threat of cancellation through street riots. There was a young runner who had trained up. He was against it being cancelled and said, you know, this could bring people together. It went ahead. There is a hill known as Heartbreak Hill in the Boston Marathon, and he got to it fully exhausted. And it is a great obstacle. He gets there, and the crowd starts roaring with a lack of sympathy, because at this time in Boston there was just hate shredding, growing around. And they start roaring at him and shouting at him, you're awful, you're a disgrace, you're not making it up that hill. And an older runner, he was just in front of him, heard it and ran back the ways to him and put his arm around him and said, you can do it, let's do it together. And he ran with him and they both finished the race. But had that not have happened, that young runner was sure to quit. I could guarantee he wouldn't have finished that marathon. See, sometimes all it takes for someone to complete their journey is a bit of encouragement. You know, the Lord isn't critical of us. He does chastise us. That's different to sheer criticism. If there is criticism, it's always constructive, not destructive. But at times when we're just tired, we're fed up, we've seen many failures, then we just let that old pride get the better of ourselves and blurt out an old hurtful line that could be the complete destruction of someone. You know, God sees those sentences that we say. And we don't know the full extent of the hurt that that's doing in someone's heart. And if we did, we probably wouldn't say it. But words are hurtful. Let's be encouragers. Let's have a few baskets of encouragement to pass around. Many churches are known for the basket that they pass around for the money. You know, but let us not pass around so that people can give in, but let us pass that basket around of us giving it out. You know, there is souls here, and I'm sure some of us even standing or sitting here tonight are fighting silent battles. Probably every one of us have different battles. And can one truly stand up today and say, I've been helped this week. I've received the basket of compassion. I've received the basket of encouragement. You know, there's times where I'm fully praying for the silent battles, and you'll hear me mention it, but there's times I don't. Times I just slack off on it. And I'm not praying, Lord, how can I be a help to my brethren? How can I encourage someone today? Is there a verse that I need to share? Is there a song that I need to choose, or just a word that I need to say? How many of us have prayed that prayer this week? I haven't prayed it this week, not until today, I'll admit. And that's slack. That's why we need the body of believers. We're all one body in Christ. If the hand suffers, the leg suffers. You know, if the eye suffers, your neck suffers as well. The whole body suffers when one part of it is suffering. If you have a sore back, that's going to just taint anything you can do that day. If you have a sore ankle, you just try and walk about your business without a complaint. The rest of your body will suffer. It'll slow you down. And it shows. People can tell that you're in pain by the moans and groans and just by how slow you're moving. And sometimes the world can see how broken the church is on the outside better than we can on the inside, because we're not always looking to see. We're not always looking to see there's a member of the body that's injured. We're not always looking with the bandage, the old first aid kit out to say, let me wrap that for you, let me wrap that burn. Or I know you've been hurt, I know the devil's been kicking you hard recently. How about just spend a bit of time together and a bit of encouragement? Leading on to that is the basket of prayer. We need to be much in prayer. There's nothing greater in this life than the privilege of prayer. It's the one thing we have over the world. God hears the prayers of his children. God hears the cries of those who know him. God hears those of us in our worst moments. He hears our yearns. The Holy Spirit even intercedes with us with groanings that cannot be uttered, it says. Those groanings that cannot be uttered is those times when your heart hurts so bad that your mouth can't correspond with words to describe it. So the Holy Spirit just says, it's okay. I'll go to God for you. I know how to tell him. But there should be you and I standing, seeing the hurt, standing in the gap, filling that hedge, and saying, Lord, your child is hurting. Could you just help him? Could you pass by his or her way today? Give them a bit of encouragement. Lord, if I can be used in that, well, let me be faithful and let me be willing. When was the last time we prayed for those of our brethren that suffer? Beyond prayer, there's the basket of labor. Do you know that there's not another thing that will encourage a Christian as seeing you labor right beside them? There's nothing worse as a Christian than thinking that you're the only one that's doing something. Mm-hmm. That you're the only one that is against the whole entire world in a certain stand, in a certain pattern of works, in a certain belief. We need company. We need that arm around us just to say, I'm with you on this. Mm-hmm. You know, many hands make light work. And we know, yes, we all know that God's on our side. And that you and God make a majority. But it's nice to have someone right beside you as well. It's nice to know that there's other Christians there that want to serve. You see, when God starts to bless, then Satan tries to mess. He tries to mess up the work. And the Bible says that two's greater than one. He says, you know, if one falls, the other one can pick him up. He says, if you're laying together, you can gain heat off each other. I think that's in Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. Two's better than one, and three's better than two. The greater the company, the greater the power of the work, the greater the encouragement, and the greater compassion that will be shown amongst us. I think the church is crippled by the belief that the pastor and his staff are the only ones appointed to do any Christian labor. It's not only the job of a pastor or a preacher to spread the gospel. We're all called preachers. It's not only the job of a pastor, preacher, or Christian leader to serve his community or her community. It's not only the job of a pastor to cherish the children in the church and to, you know, mold and shape them and the beliefs and what they should be and for their care for lost souls. That's everyone's job here in this building. It's not only the pastor's job to see the needs of those that sit beside us in the church. That's everyone's job. And we don't have to have any great ability, just an availability and a willingness. God will provide. God will never call us to do something that we don't have the means to perform. After the rescue, Paul tries to join himself to the disciples at Jerusalem. But they're terrified. They thought that he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And they didn't take the report of his conversion with great rejoicing. They, like the Jews of the time, thought that this was some plot for him to kill and imprison more of the Christians. But can I say that if I was just a newly born again saved Christian and I went to a company of believers and they rejected me based on my past, I would probably turn my back on the whole entire movement. So, I probably would have given up there and said, I've been preaching for 3 years, Galatians, Paul says that this was. Been preaching for 3 years at Damascus. And then I went to Arabia and spent some time there, and now I come to a group of believers and they completely reject me. I've been faithful for 3 years, and here's God's apparent people just spitting in my face. But not Paul. Paul didn't do that. His conversion was true, it was sure, it was pure. And he had a greater heart of love for Jesus and for his followers. He didn't let this hinder what Jesus had done for him. Thank God for people like Barnabas and Ananias, who you know will welcome people into the family of God with just simple friendship. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter even about how close that past was. Ananias went and Paul was on his way with a letter to arrest Christians and kill some. Barnabas took Paul here and brought him to the apostles and said, I seen him, how he seen the Lord in the way and met with him. I seen him preach boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You need to accept this man into your company. He's genuine. He's saved. He's a child of God. Paul continues then to speak boldly amongst them. Disputing with the Grecians, it says, and again another threat for his life comes. Saved by the apostles or disciples again, you know, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. But you know, when, and that's another rescue basket that they provided for him. But when the church works together, each one holding up and carrying those that can't carry themselves on that short journey, when we are so crippled by the things that's going on, the tribulations, temptations, the trials that we face, the church will grow and flourish. That's what happened in verse 31. The church has had rest throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And they were edified. They had fear of the Lord. And they had comfort. And they continued to grow. They were multiplied. When the world sees a church like it ought to be, a basket church, and sometimes that basket will just be a bag of potatoes. Sometimes that basket, especially in these times when there's so much to discourage people, loss of jobs, fear of finances, wondering where their next mortgage payment is going to come from. Sometimes that's just us clubbing together and meeting a need. But that's what will make the difference to the world, is each one of those baskets that we provide for our brethren. Let us be a basket church. One man's quoted as saying, teamwork makes the dream work. And I dream of this church growing, not only this church, but every Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church that there is. And if we want it to grow, we need to be a basket church. John, you're closing the service with a hymn?
36.
Hymn number 36.
Be the stand if we're singing Christ the Rose.
the grave he arose.
Says it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you help others, you're helping yourself. There's been no time where I've helped anyone where I haven't felt help myself. You know that when I've been in the depths of despair and wondering how I'm going to get out, the Lord said, just go and help someone today, and you soon forget about your problems. You soon forget about what you're facing and the trials and tribulations. Help someone where you can. Well, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Father, thank you for this message, Lord, laid up in our hearts, Lord, and touch us and push us towards more towards thee than towards the world, Lord, and may force be more upon the fruitful Lord cross and thy promises, dear Heavenly Father, Lord. Provide for us as we come to a new week, Lord, both every one of us in this church and every Christian throughout the world, Lord. Remember especially the first good, especially throughout the world, Lord, or first good for the faith in Jesus Christ, Lord. Remember the Christians in China, North Korea, and throughout the Muslim world, and throughout the entire world, Lord. Pray for them also, Lord, and Lord, give them the basket, Lord, and you, Lord, give them the victory in thee, Lord. With us tonight, Lord, as we seek to depart from thy presence, from thy church, Lord, tonight, Lord, to join us to your house, Lord, and may we seek thy face and when we return home, and as we are by one, answer our prayers tonight, Lord. To the parts and safety, Lord, pray for us, give us blessings in every head and this church, Lord, and every house that's represented, give a blessing to them also, and to us also, Lord. And purify for us and keep us from an eye and for Jesus Christ again. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen.